I've spent quite a bit of time this morning analysing my final game in the Welsh Ladies Chess Champions 2024, because essentially what was happening was that I was driving my pawns forward, but I was doing so in order to cut off the queenside knight. So I pushed forward a pawn to d6, which dislodged the black queen across to the g-file, and that was threatening my e-pawn, which is on the diagonal where my king was castled kingside. And I earnestly saw that as a huge threat. Okay, and what I should have just done was to move my queen one square and just take the knight on the b-file, because that was the whole thrust of what I was doing. I pushed the pawn forwards, dislodged the queen, and then I was free to just take the knight. And then even when the black queen takes my pawn, and all I've got to do is bring my rook up to the f2 square, and that protects the king. It also protects the bishop, and my queen is protecting the knight. So all of my pieces there in a nice line. You know, there's absolutely nothing to worry about. The queen's not going to take any more pieces or pawns. And the black back rank, you know, there's a quandary there. Should the king castle kingside? What exactly is he going to do about the threat of the passed d pawn? So essentially, if I just took that knight, allowed the queen to take the pawn and give check, bring my rook up, and then probably the next move from black will be just to bring the b pawn forwards, or possibly to protect that with the rook, and then the situation is fairly fluid. Then, you know, I can do whatever I want to attack, but essentially we're looking at a position in which black has got no particular threats, but he is a whole piece down, right? So there was no need for me to, you know, protect the pawn, which really I didn't with my rook on f3, which gave him the opportunity to move the knight, and that in turn, and a turn later, gave him the opportunity to checkmate. But none of that would have been available if I had simply moved on with the plan that I already had and took the knight. And so whether you play chess or not, the moral of the story is that when you're, you know, instituting a plan, which is so many moves, you need to make sure that you carry it completely through. Don't suddenly go off at a tangent and do something else. And this is what we do in life constantly and all the time. And if we could see life as being, in any one situation, a board of just 64 playing pieces, nothing is going to go outside of the board unless it gets taken, right? And all of the moves of our situation are contained within this 64 square grid. And the beauty of it is it forces you to correlate and analyze in a certain, you know, given structure. And if you know the game of chess well, you know that it's a game of incredible balance. So if you're trying to create a result and you believe that you've got a stronger position, within a move or two, something will crop up so that you can do something and you'll realise that stronger position. And that's what I should have done. I've got a nice passed pawn heading down towards the king. All I needed to do was to take the knight. And all I didn't do was take the knight. And, you know, if you look back even recently in your life, and you're going to see some tragedies and disasters and mistakes. And what's happened is you've been working along a plan, but then you went awry at some point. Don't do that. Just keep going with the plan. And the reason that I'm saying this is that, you know, you're never too old to make mistakes, and therefore you're never too old to learn. So don't listen to anyone that's ever told you, you get to 21 years of age and that's it. Your brain and your body no longer grow. Well, you know that's a fallacy if you've ever had to clip your fingernails. get your hair cut, the body continues to grow and your capacity for the enjoyment of life continues to grow and your intellect continues to grow and your ability to solve problems within your life, that also continues to grow. Okay, so you have to believe in your power to develop your analytical thinking. And it's just as simple as asking yourself, what is it you want? And what is it that seems to be preventing you getting what you want right now? And then just conceive the entire problem being within the confines of a 64 square grid and believe that with a bit of thinking and a bit of pushing through, you can attain whatever it is you want to in the next month or two, or even if it's a bigger project, the next year or two. And don't forget the power of getting other people interested on your side and motivated and involved. Not everything that you achieve in life has to just be you, okay? When it comes to playing chess, it's probably just going to be you, right? But a great deal of what you want to do in life, you know, maybe you want to start a charity. You're going to need some other people to get on board with that. But, you know, don't underestimate the value of other people's enthusiasm and talents. Always get good at delegating tasks to other people, even if you don't need to. People appreciate having a task delegated to them. It gives them an opportunity to excel, show you what they're made of. And later on, you get into a situation where, you know, you can work together and trust each other more. Now, one of the things that I want to do is to create a series of ebooks. So that's mostly down to me putting together the information and then just typing it out, getting it organized nicely and shaping it up into a book and then presenting it for sale in one way or another. But, you know, later on, I could perhaps create some books which were more like an interview style. So I interview an expert on something, and using the question answer sort of format, we create a book together. Now, there might be some subjects that you would like to do that. And you don't have to be very good at writing. You can get someone else in to ghostwrite it with you. Another thing that I'd like to do is to create some joint ventures with the wine clubs, because they're quite good at sourcing and selling wine. I'm good at buying their wine and trying their wine and encouraging other people to do so. And the one big thing that all the wine clubs lack at the moment is a kind of middle person who's essentially on the side of the consumer, who's there to say, well, if you enjoyed this wine, you might enjoy this wine. And to come in from the perspective of a consumer rather than the perspective of a seller. And so I'm trying to work out some ways in which I might be able to encourage the wine clubs to employ me in some kind of capacity to encourage more wine sales, but from the benefit and the outlook of the consumer. I don't think any of the wine clubs put enough time into understanding what the consumer really wants, to be honest. And I think I could be very valuable in that. But, you know, it takes a lot of time to discover who you can approach in an organisation to get the kind of result that you want. Because in general, nobody listens to you about anything at all, because they're just thinking about themselves and what they want. And it's very, very difficult to convince someone that if they just took a bit of time to look at something in a different way, a new, fresh way, they might benefit themselves. So there's loads of things in life that you can, you know, achieve by just thinking very analytically. Believe that you can get a good result. Sometimes bring other people in on board. And don't be afraid to push your oar out a little bit and try something completely new, you know. There's lots and lots of things you can get involved in where you can meet other people. I mean, if you learnt to play the trumpet, you could go and play in a band. and you'd meet other people and you'd have something that you did once or twice a week, which would add some interest into your life, you know. Don't ever feel that you can't learn to play a musical instrument because it needs some special skill. There's no more skill involved than the skills that you need to learn how to boil an egg. You know, you need to have a stove and you need to have a saucepan and you need some water, but essentially you can learn to boil an egg, and as you can learn to play a musical instrument, it's just da da da. There's no magic about it. There's nothing more magical about it than learning how to stick two pieces of wood together and make a two wood thing, you know, or several pieces of wood together and make a table. I mean, just about anyone could make a table if they tried. It's not that difficult. And learning to play music isn't that difficult. If you want to learn a language, though goodness knows why you would, because everyone speaks the same absolute cobblers in all languages. There's not really any point in learning a load of new vocab just to listen to what a Russian person's got to say, because they're just talking absolute cobblers, same as English people are. It's the same with all countries. But, you know, you might not believe me and you might want to prove that for yourself. So just go and pick up a whole new load of vocab, find a native speaker, chat away with them and learn a language. It's not difficult. It's just da-da-da. It takes time, but it's just da-da-da. Anyone can do it. Well, you learnt one language, didn't you? Well, I presume you did because you're listening to me. In general, I've got more interesting stuff to say than the average sort of cobbler speaking person. But yeah, so what I really want you to take away today is you can achieve not only anything you want to and solve any of your problems given time and some analysis, but you can, you know, forge forward in life and learn new things, create new things, develop new things with or without other people, and push forward in directions that you've perhaps never thought of before. It's very difficult not to get into a rut and just say I'm perfectly fine as I am. But you are an immense being. You're completely limitless. There's nothing stopping you from doing anything, okay? And you could turn out to have an amazing talent that you had no idea about. You could be great at connecting people. You could, you know, create an amazing result for somebody. Or you could just learn how to play chess, you know, and pit your wits against St. Lady Feck and see if you can beat her. I doubt you will be able to, but you can have a try. It's a good idea. Or you could learn a musical instrument. You could do whatever you want. There's nothing stopping you except your own laziness. That's all it is. Whatever it is that you want to do and you don't get around to, it's your own laziness. Okay, so write yourself a list this week of 20 things that up until now you've been too bone-idle lazy to be bothered to get around to learning or doing. And then pick two of those and make an effort for the rest of the year to get some kind of progress going in them. It might be learning how to bodge up a table from some bits of wood, or it might be learning how to boil an egg or grow some flowers, you know, or learn to speak cock-a-doodle-doo, because, you know, maybe people in that language have got really interesting things to talk about. I doubt it, but they might have. Don't let your own laziness stop you, because ultimately you know there's no limitations. You know you didn't stop growing at the age of 21. You know that every now and again you go and have your hair cut. You know, you're still alive, so on your bike, learn something new. Even if it's learning how to ride a bike, it's not difficult. All you've got to do is not fall off either side, and that's it. Quit being lazy and get on and do something new, okay? And then write a book about it, or get someone to help you write a book about it. Because somebody out there is going to be interested in what you're doing, and they're going to be motivated by the fact that you got off your arse and decided to do something new. Good for you.